So what a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, my friends. Appreciate your faithfulness coming out here to hear the preaching of the Word of God and to worship and to unite our hearts in prayer and admiration of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so let's be encouraged again, as always, by God's holy word. Title of tonight's message, just to stir our hearts and to remind us to keep climbing that mountain. Amen. And so let's go to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, the testimony of Caleb. Caleb, Old Testament Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. But the title of tonight's message, Now Therefore, Give Me This Mountain. Now therefore, give me this mountain. What a wonderful desire. What a wonderful request. Prayer, if you will. Of course, in this passage, Caleb's talking to Joshua about what a wonderful thing if we can desire this, if we can live this, if we can pray this to one that mountain, and just to give a little context, I was talking to my father-in-law last week when he was visiting, and the ladies had their lunch brunch going on, and so on that Saturday, and so that was it Friday? On Saturday, so that was a blessing for me to just kind of visit with my father-in-law. We kind of chit-chat, and he tells me all kinds of stories, we talked about, Caleb's testimony, how he wants that mountain, and of course, you'd be reminded that with those mountains also came giants. Now, Caleb wasn't fazed by it. What a blessing. And we talked about in our flesh, like, boy, what a testimony for that brother Caleb to want that mountain and say, Dad, and we're talking to each other, sometimes we are afraid to even ask for a hill. I don't know if I want a hill, Lord. I mean, mountain, oh, man, let alone a hill. I mean, I struggle with it. But what an encouragement from Caleb. And so let's go to Joshua chapter 14. Stand with me, my friends. Don't just settle for that flat land. Certainly don't be content in the wilderness. And so we'll get to that. And not just for that hill, but we want that mountain. This is mountain meaning, of course, God's perfect will for us. The blessing that God has for us, what he wants us to have. May we want what he wants for us. God had desired to give Israel the promised land. In this context, the mountains in the land of Canaan. And so the high ground. And may we want what God wants for us. Amen. So let's go to Joshua chapter 14. And this, of course, is after 40 years of wandering. Of course, we know the story. Israel as a whole, as a nation, had rejected what God wanted to give them. And so God made them wander for 40 years. And then all the naysayers had passed away, passed on. And now the next generation, the kids had kind of grown up themselves. And now it's round two going in. They come into the land of Canaan. And of course, Caleb, ever fervent, still the same Caleb. He's 40 years older, but still as zealous for the Lord as ever. And so he says this to Joshua, may this be our motto as well. Amen. Praise God to want what God wants, not to reject his best for us, to want that mountain that God gives us, even though it comes with giants, the best blessings. Not to say it has the greatest battles, but because of the greatest victories. Amen. And so let's go to Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Joshua 14, verse 12, the Word of God says, Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Hallelujah, my friends. Let's bow our heads for opening prayer. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for the great salvation through our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May he be glorified even tonight, Lord, and given the preeminence and through the Spirit of the Son, through the power of the Holy Ghost, and through the power of the Word, the Spirit of the sword of the Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that we can assemble even tonight. Lord, bless the folks that made it out. Encourage them and bless them in a special way. Father, help us, Lord, to hear from you. Holy Spirit of God, anoint these lips of clay that I would speak, Father, what you would have me to say. Hide me behind a cross that is not my own biases, is not my own opinions, Lord. It is your wonderful word that we hear from heaven on high. I thank you, Father, for the testimony of Brother Caleb. What a man of God, Lord. And truly, he's a sinner like anyone else, but certainly a wonderful showcase of your power in any yielded vessel. And so, Father, we ask even tonight, Lord, that as Caleb of old, that we would desire, that we would pray, that we would want that mountain that you've given reserved for all of us in our life, the mountain for us, Lord, for us to scale, for us to be more than conquerors as we would climb our Mount Everest, whatever that might translate to for us, Father. We know that you have a perfect will and plan for all of us. Let us not be Let me not be content to just stay, wandering around the wilderness, Lord. That's the punishment, Lord. We don't want that. We want that mountain. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. Bless tonight the preaching and teaching of thy scriptures. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, friends. Maybe seated. Tremendous testimony of Caleb here. When it's all sitting down, as the dust is settling, I don't know if Joshua would have gotten Caleb's case and say, if Caleb did not come to Joshua to say, hey, give me the green light. All I need, of course, he says, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. In other words, this is 40 years later, and Caleb says, I just want your green light, Joshua, you're the leader. And just let me at him, if the Lord so chooses, if the Lord is with me now as he was then, I got this. Don't matter how big the mountain is, don't matter how big the giants are. If the Lord be with me, I can do it all. I just need that. And so his faith is completely in the Lord. If the Lord says no, it's no. If yes, it's all the way yes. And so what a testimony. I don't know if Caleb hadn't done this, I don't know if Joshua would have nudged him like, hey, Caleb, don't you want one? I don't know if that would have happened. Now, there's no ifs, but what a reminder that Caleb still yearned for that. Of course, he had to wander with all the naysayers for 40 years, but God kept him and Joshua, the only two from the original bunch, alive, and then they got to see everything come to pass in the promised land. But what a testimony. And so his asking Joshua, as we would even be asking God tonight in our prayers to God. May that be glory for me if I can pray as Caleb is asking Joshua here, as we pray to God. God, Lord, Father, give me that mountain. Lord, if you go with me, all I need is you go with me, Lord, and I can get that mountain. I want that. And so number one, may we want the mountain that God has for us. Amen. May we want the mountain that God has for us. Of course, there's a lot of spiritual application to that. Mountains, when we're up on the mountain, we get the best view. May we see things as God wants us to see it. We're literally above the world. May we not be entangled by the world as we ascend in our mountain. We're literally closer to the skies, to the heavens, as we're closer to God. Mountains, of course, are also a source of rivers, of waters, right? The higher, the purer. The higher it is, the more pure it is. In fact, how amazing were the mountains that God had promised Israel? Just how amazing were those founts, were those waters, or those rivers? Well, the Lord, over and over again, described the land of Canaan as a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. I mean, that is so descriptive. I mean, I tried to picture that like, man, that seems kind of like a paradise. Of course, I mean, it is, because it's what God had intended for them. And my friends, whatever mountain God has intended for you, that's a wonderful thing. It's the best case scenario of how we might live our life, okay? Whatever that mountain might be, it is an amazing thing. It's a flowing water, a flowing with milk and honey. In fact, Exodus chapter 3 is the first time it's described this way, and that's repeated numerous times by prophets and by Moses and Joshua. But let's go to Exodus chapter 3, of course, by God. It's his word. Right? This is how God himself describes the promised land, describes the mountain that's in the promised land. The springs, the rivers flow from the mountains first, which is what Caleb's desiring. And so this is Exodus chapter 3. Again, be mindful of what it says here. Exodus chapter 3, and let's go to verse 8. And again, this is how God first introduces the promised land, and it does not change in description as it goes on in the Old Testament. And the Word of God says, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land," the land of slavery and bondage to Pharaoh, okay, where their cries were going up to the ears of God, and God heard their cries, amen, like a loving father would his child. And so God is going to take them out of that sin bondage, that picture sin. But it says here, onto a good land and a large. And then one even more descriptive, onto a land flowing with milk and honey. Onto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hevites, and the Jebusites, all the Ites. But he's saying a land flowing with milk and honey. Flowing meaning it's not stagnant, it's not stale, it's not still, it's living water. Milk and honey, it's an amazing thing. Now, milk, of course, it can make butter, you can make cheese. It's just a wonderful, milk itself is nourishing. Honey, of course, is that nutritious, sweetener that never spoils. Now, what's amazing about milk and honey is that it's technically I suppose, not necessary to live. Milk and honey is nice. You can certainly do a lot of nice things with it. But you don't technically need milk and honey to live. You need water to live, right? And so water is what's needed to live. And God did provide, right? God did provide water in the wilderness to survive, for Israel to survive. Water out of the rock, right? So God did provide the water already in the wilderness. But when it comes to milk and honey, I want us to understand this. God is not promising the land of Canaan to the Israelites, the promised land, for them to survive. He's promising them the land of Canaan for them to thrive. Understand this. Hang on. For them to live and to live more abundantly, right? This is what Jesus says in John 10, right? To have not just eternal life, but the abundant life. And God wants to bless Israel so much. They don't deserve it, but He loves them. He wants to bless them so much because of way back when in Genesis, of course, Abraham's faithfulness, right? But God wants to bless Israel by giving them a land that floweth with milk and honey. This is not to survive. You need water to survive, and God already is going to provide that in the wilderness. We know that. But He's given them this mountain, the land of Canaan, so that they would live abundantly. So case in point here, I don't know, the Lord just gave this example. Maybe the kids were eating cereal and I was cleaning it up or whatever the case, but who would like to eat cereal with water? Okay? Would you like to eat cereal with water? That's kind of gross. Now, I'll be open to doing that, eating cereal with water instead of starving, okay? And so I would, yeah, eat that instead of nothing, sure. But I much rather have milk with my cereal, okay, instead of water. And so the idea I want us to understand this is, God is giving them the land that flows with milk and honey, not just so that they can get by, because they were already getting by. But He desired to give them the land of Canaan so that they could thrive and live abundantly. So God wants us to live abundantly in the mountain that He has for us. It's God's perfect plan for us, which brings me to my second and unfortunately the sad point, because here's the kicker, kind of the aha for us. Too many Christians have settled for the wilderness. Hang on. Too many Christians have settled for the wilderness. Don't settle for the wilderness. Israel didn't get it. Let's go to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29. Of course, it's written for a time, written for our learning, that we know God's, how he acts, how He deals with fellow sinners. So Deuteronomy 29. Now, Israel wandered the wilderness for 40 years. We know that. Now, God did miraculously sustain them during the wilderness journey, right? The wandering, God did miraculously. He didn't have to, but again, He had mercy on them. He loved them. He sustained them with bread from heaven, the manna, right? With quail, water from the rock. And so He sustained them supernaturally. But don't forget, the wilderness wandering was a punishment. It was a punishment. It's not where they were supposed to go. They ended up going there because they rejected what God wanted for them. They didn't want the mountains in the promised land. They didn't want what God, the best that God was given. They didn't want that. And so God made them wander, for 40 years. But don't be content to settle in the wilderness, even though God might be providing our needs. Water, manna, quail. What God intended for Israel was milk and honey. Okay, a land that flows with milk. So let's go to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, I share this because 40 years they were wandering. And my friends, unless we have this Caleb mentality, Lord, give me that mountain. And I'm preaching to myself too. Unless we are like Caleb, God, I want that mountain. We can live our whole life, 40 years, just bump it along. Now we won't, God's not going to hang us out to dry, okay? He sustains us as He did Israel, with water, with manna, with quail. And so we'll get by, but we won't be thriving and we won't be living the abundant life that God desired, okay? We won't have, and again, this is spiritually speaking, not talking about wealthy bankroll here, okay? We're talking about spiritually close to God, walking with God as Enoch did, having great victory in our life and realizing God's goodness to us, the complete package, this side of glory. Not just limping along on life support, just making it scraping by from week to week, okay? That is, the wilderness wandering is the punishment. Don't, child of God, myself, don't settle for that. Don't just say, hey, I understand, be content. But we want to pursue what God desires for us. Okay, so let's go to Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. We'll start there. Deuteronomy 29, let's go to verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. So it's reiterating it. Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen, again, this is the next generation after God had made them finish wandering 40 years. Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. They know it firsthand. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Because of their lack of faith, because of their disobedience, they didn't get it. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Now, God did provide for them supernaturally. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Again, this is a miraculous providence by God. You know, their stuff didn't wear out, which is amazing. Don't get me wrong. But don't forget, the wilderness wandering was a punishment. And Christians, don't be complacent to that, okay? Desire that mountain, that God's best for us. Ye have not eaten bread. Now, they ate manna, but that's a supernatural bread. So what God is saying here through Moses is that they didn't eat self-made bread like everyone else did. God provided for them supernaturally. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine nor strong drink. God's purpose for that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. Really, really know. Israel, I hope you know it now. Christian, I hope we know it today, tonight. And when ye came unto this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. God, yes, he does deliver us. But his plan is not for us to settle in the wilderness. His plan is for us to go into the promised land, to climb that mountain, to want that mountain. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Now, as you go into the promised land, okay, the idea is God's going to be with them. Learn from the mistakes, right? You know, 40 years of wandering, and we can spend our whole life wandering the wilderness if we keep rejecting the mountain that God has for us. And, of course, we might ask ourselves, well, why would I reject the mountain? Because it comes with giants. And it takes effort. The purpose of a mountain is to be scaled. It takes effort to climb up. It's going to take battles. We have the victory to Jesus Christ as long as I don't keep my eyes on my focus on myself. But it's going to be worth it. But we have to win those battles to Jesus Christ. But we have to fight those battles. And God desires to show himself mighty in those battles. May I not be complacent and just say, well, I'd rather just kind of hang around here in the wilderness where it's safe. Israel, if you notice, of course, the 40 years of wandering, they went all kinds of places. But really, Israel didn't really go anywhere. They kind of teetered around and there, they went here. Went over here, kind of by Barnea, Kadesh Barnea, and they kind of did a little tour, but they didn't go anywhere significant. They didn't go into the promised land. They just kind of neandered around. And I don't want that to be my Christian life. Yes, I'm saved. Praise God. And God miraculously sustains me from day by day by day. I mean, that's wonderful. But my friends, Jesus, he came that we might have life, eternal life, and then life even now, that we might have it more abundantly. Don't reject God's mountain, God's plan for you and I. Israel's wandering, the 40 years, of course, is directly proportionate to their rejection of the promised land. Let's go to Numbers 14. Numbers 14, we did this a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school. But Numbers 14, and then look at verse 32. Numbers 14, of course, it wasn't just some random 40 that God came up with. 40 is, of course, the number of testing, but notice how that transpired, how that played out here. Numbers 14, verse 32. This is the account of, again, the book of Numbers, the book of complaining, the book of disobedience, the book of numbering, murmuring. But Numbers 14, verse 32, God is dispensing his judgment to Israel because they rejected his will. They rejected his promised land. They rejected that mountain. They don't want it. Caleb did. Joshua did. But the majority didn't. And so look at verse 32. Numbers 14, God is giving the judgment. This is what's going to happen. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. Not the promised land that God intended for you, but in the barren wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. Now, that's not something that any parent or grandparent wants to hear about their descendants. I mean, just wandering. And bear your whoredoms. Now, God is not going to hold him personally accountable for that rejection. They were under the age. You know, God mentions that. But they are going to pay the price for it. And so they are, the repercussions of that sin can span generations. And bear your whoredoms until, because they cheated on God, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And this is how long they have to wander. After the number of days in which ye searched the land. Of course, if we remember the 12 spies, Caleb, Joshua, and the 10 others, no one knows, we have the names of the other 10, but no one remembers them. But all 12 went into the promised land for 40 days. Each day they would search out a different region, a different lot, check it out, scope it out, see what God has over here. And every day they would reject the region of the day. And so let's go over to this sector. And they go there, and Josh and Caleb says, well, sounds good, let's go. And the other 10, no, this is not good. We don't want this parcel here. Maybe tomorrow we'll check over there. And every day they saw a different region of the promised land. Here, this corner, that corner. And every single day, the 10 spies didn't want it, rejected. Every single day, they were 0-40. And God says here, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. And so continually rejecting, the idea here is 40 days, they were in there. Every single day they didn't want it. And so completely rejecting God's plan for them. Completely rejecting what God wanted them to have. God had promised them that, hey, I'm going to give you farms that you didn't grow, houses you didn't build. It's just a tremendously wonderful blessing by God's grace. And they rejected it. They didn't want what God wanted for them. The wilderness is not the promised land, my friends. Let us not be settling in the wilderness, even though God miraculously sustains us. Don't get me wrong, he does. But it's easy for us as Christians if we don't desire, like Caleb, that mountain, going where we haven't gone before, okay, closer with God in our walk with God, in our service to God, in our love for God. My friends, we're going to be in, and maybe it's not a complete rejection like Israel here, 40 for 40, complete rejection. But as much as we reject is how much we're going to be wandering, direct proportionate. So remember, we want that mountain, desire that mountain, just like Caleb. But of course, God's mountains comes with giants, right? We know that. So let's go to Numbers 13. And so here's what happens. Numbers 13, yes, want that mountain, even though it comes with giants. Because the greater they are, the greater they fall, and God shows his glory, right, as we yield to him. But let's go to Numbers 13 and verse 27. Numbers 13, verse 27. God, of course, is true to his word. And so here's the account back in the book of Numbers when it happened. And they told him and said, we came onto the land whither thou sentest us, Moses, and surely it floweth, just as God said, with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. I mean, yeah, it's as amazing as what God said, as what you said. Here's the fruit of it. We got some. I don't know how big maybe the grapes are as big as grapefruits or whatever the case, but they had lush vegetation. It was plump. It was ripe. It was like a paradise. Like, this is wonderful. But also comes with giants, because verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. So here's the however. Here's the, God, but. Yeah, Lord, you said this, and yeah, Lord, you're giving me this, but. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. So they're strong, giant forts, walls, castles, whatever the case is, strongholds, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and so the giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. So surrounded by enemies, they're sitting ducks. And Caleb, of course, we know his testimony, stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. All right, let's go and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, this is not in his own self-pride, okay? He's just trusting the Lord. He's obeying the Lord. Let's go, guys. Okay, let's go. What are we waiting for? But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. This is the land that God has promised to give them. Boy, I can't even imagine how God would feel. I mean, this is what he had specially prepared for them, and they're knocking it, they're dissing it, they are criticizing it, they're giving it a bad review, okay? It's like God, you know, critic. Yeah, promised land critic. And like, oh no, this is 0 out of 10. This has got lots of good stuff, but God, you know, you're losing points because of all these giants, all these obstacles. Saying the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Oh my. So they were giants. The giants turned them off. Now, if we want that mountain like Caleb did, of course we understand there will be giants with it. But the mountains God gives us will always come with battles. The purpose of those is for us to triumph through Jesus Christ, because God gets the glory. And the only way we can triumph over those battles is through Jesus Christ, is by yielding to the Lord. That is how we triumph. A couple of New Testament verses for us to be encouraged. We want a mountain, my friends. Yes, they come with battles and giants, but those are just opportunities for God to glorify himself when he gives us the victory. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Scripture tells us, of course, we are more than conquerors. Amen. Through Christ who loves us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And then verse 14. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. When those victories happen because of Christ, this is what happens. Verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God. When we pursue those mountains, when we climb those mountains, go where God wants for us, pursue what God, his best for us, which always, always, hallelujah, every single time causeth us to triumph in who? Christ. We got it. Don't, in my flesh, I don't want to overlook that, because if it's not through Jesus, I'm going to fail every single time. But it's with Jesus, I'm going to win every single time. And so when that happens, when we have that victory, when people go, wow, when I go, wow, when, oh, that's amazing. How did we do that? God did it. You know, when God gets the glory, just like when he delivered Israel out of Pharaoh, when he smote the firstborn, when all those plagues, I mean, all they could do is marvel at the power and the majesty and how amazing God is. When he parted the Red Sea, all they can do is praise God. Certainly no Israelite could take credit for it. But that's what happens when God causes us to triumph in Christ. This is what happens. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Then we know, then everyone knows that God is real in our life. That God has been here. God's hand has touched here. God's hand has been here. I mean, it's so obvious God's hand parted the sea, right? It's so obvious that God would give them the victory against all those giants, because there's no other way that Israel could prevail. And so that is a wonderful thing to see God work. It has to be of Christ, not through man. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Just back a book. 1 Corinthians, and then back to Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Amen. Romans chapter 8 is an amen chapter, by the way. But Romans 8, let's go to verse 31. Bible says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? My friends, do we believe this? Do we really, really believe this? I can tell you, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, believed this. I mean, this is the Old Testament principle, okay? That God, that he is the God of Israel, okay? This, I understand New Testament verse. But the idea is, how in the world did Caleb do that? Well, it's because he took what God said to him personally. Yes, God made a general promise to all of Israel. But Caleb, somewhere along the line, Caleb realized that, wait a minute, I'm an Israelite. God's promise to the nation applies to me individually, my friends. When it comes down to God's promises for you and I, we need to take those promises personally. Take it personally. God is speaking to us. And so even though it's us in plural, it's you. You can interpret, you can plug your name in there. If God before me, us, yes, but individually us, who can be against it? Doesn't matter how many giants in there. They will all fall through Jesus Christ, okay? And he that spared not his own son. And so just to clarify, if there's any shred of doubt in my mind, this is God testifying of his own love to me. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, personalize it, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All that mountain. I have no reason to not want that mountain besides my own sin, my own disobedience, my own fear and doubt. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's plural. Personalize it, you and I. It is God that justifieth. God says I can do it. Who can top God? No one. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The whole package. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so I can picture Joshua and Caleb reading this and going, sounds good. Let's go. What are you waiting for? And of course, the tense, my friends, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 38, 39, we know this, of course, wonderful verses. For I am persuaded. Now, Paul was, as he wrote this, may we believe this and claim this verse, amen. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a wonderful testimony for Brother Caleb. He wanted a mountain knowing it included fighting giants. And I think of myself just talking to my father-in-law, man, sometimes we are afraid to even ask for a hill. Oh, woe on me. Oh, me of little faith. Now remember notice how Caleb said, how we opened tonight's message, Joshua 14:12. Remember he said to Joshua, now therefore give me this mountain. It shows what compelled Caleb. It shows what was grounding his faith. He said, now therefore give me this mountain. In other words, therefore God said it. Romans 8, therefore give me this mountain. And now, there's a time element in now. Of course, it means right now when he was saying it. The idea, of course, we can do it now. Because God has already said it. We're not waiting for God to promise us. He has already promised us. Now, it's always a good time. It's never too late to desire that mountain. Better late than never. Desire that mountain. Pray for the mountain. Want that mountain. Now, therefore, the therefore is based on the promises of God. Amen. What a powerful testimony. What a tremendous testimony. What is our mountain? Well, it might vary for everyone, but they all come with battles that God will overcome it for us if we but yield to him. The mountain, of course, is the life that God wants us to live. Yeah, it will take effort to climb, but it will be doable, of course, when we submit to God through his word, to the power of the Holy Spirit, as we yield to Christ. Of course, it'll be worth it. Don't settle for the wilderness wandering. I want to just share, in some regard, just my own testimony. You can certainly liken mountains to God's perfect will in your life. Of course, it's up to God, but I'm so thankful for my family. Yes, God decides how many children we have, but I was so blessed, and I desired to have that full quiver. And are there giants in that? Oh, yes. Giants of doubt, my own self, fear, maybe not, outside pressures, different pressures from within and without. You know what I'm talking about. Pursuing the ministry. But my friends, if we do what God desires us to do, if we desire that mountain, David versus Goliath, he was literally fighting a giant. Okay, so we know how that ended, right? Daniel, his three friends. And it's not always just who's who, okay? So, you know, because I share that because sometimes I read the scriptures and we hear about how people have surrendered to God's will, and next thing you know, Peter's preaching at Pentecost, and thousands get saved, you know, and like, wow, that's good, but I'm not a minister, you know, or maybe we read about Paul, and that's amazing, Paul, but I'm not a missionary, I'm not an evangelist, but even in the scriptures, everyone, doesn't matter, any believer, yes, we can say Daniel's a prophet, but his three friends, they climbed their mountain, they stood before Nebuchadnezzar and said, no, we don't care if you... No matter what you do with us. God can save us. He might not want to, but if he chooses, he could save us. But no matter what, we are not going to bow down. What a testimony. They were doing what God wanted them to do. Ruth, right? Some of the examples. And she's just a regular lady, but stuck it out with Naomi. And that was, you can say, that's a mountain, you know. And she went back to Israel. And, of course, We know the story. Next thing you know, and God uses Boaz, and then she's plugged into the ancestry of Jesus Christ. And whoa, that's amazing. Desire God's mountain for us, friends. However that might be, you know, step out of our comfort zone. It's easy to just kind of meander around, again, preaching to myself here, in the wilderness. Day in, day out. Where are we going today? Oh, the column of fire is right here, so we're going to stay here. Oh, let's move in, let's go. Haven't we been here before? Yeah, that was 20 years ago, now we're back. You know, and I don't want to spend my life just kind of getting by. Yes, God supernaturally provides. Yes, quail today, and more manna. You know, and yes, that's amazing to see God work that way, water from the rock. But God wanted his people to thrive in a land flowing with milk and honey. That's the mountain. And that was what Caleb, he couldn't wait. he had to put his desires on hold till everyone did the time, right? That he was just tagging along. But God preserved him. He was not even any weaker. And so, but he had to wait 40 years, but he still, hey, now let's pick it up where it left off. I really wanted a mountain. I still want it now. But what a testimony, my friends. Desire, pray. Pray for the mountain that God will have for us. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. I thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, Lord, that you not just bless us with eternal life through Jesus Christ, but the abundant life. And not talking about material wealth, Lord, but just that joy of the Holy Ghost, that closeness with you in serving, in loving one another. Lord, that you desire us to be above the world. Yes, we are in the world, but we're not of it, Lord. That we're not to be entangled by the world or the lusts of the world. But Father, we are to rise above it, closer to you, Lord, to climb our mountain, Lord, and to scale those heights, to defeat those giants by your grace, by your power. Lord, may we have the testimony of being an overcomer, to live that abundant, a thriving life, not just scraping by in the wilderness, Lord. And we love you, Father. We thank you for your provision for us. And bless tonight, Lord, we lift up the needs of the saints and bless the prayer time to come in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just